The Alaska National Guard has been called in to help Cordova through its biggest snowstorm in recent years. As Tony Gorman reports, the response comes after the city issued a disaster declaration on Friday.
50 Alaska National Guardsmen, paramedics, vehicles, and equipment arrived in Cordova by ferry Sunday afternoon to assist with snow removal, provide medical assistance, and other services.
Not only is the families and our soldiers and airmen being impacted by them being away, but it's also the communities that have employers that were looking forward Monday morning to these soldiers returning back to those communities to go to work. Instead, they're going to be out doing what National Guardsmen do, supporting local emergency requirements.
Alaska National Guard Adjutant General Tom Kakis said he anticipates his guardsmen to be in Cordova for the next 2 weeks. After a weekend of avalanches that forced closures along the Copper River Highway and the collapses of two seafood warehouse roofs, Cordova Mayor Jim Calander said he is optimistic that his community will make it through its current situation.
I can't say how impressed I am with Homeland Security's response, the governor's office response, and now the National Guard stepping up to the plate. It's exactly what we need. And we need relief, and we're still in emergency status here because we still have single lanes, and we're still in preserving health and safety, and haven't even begun to get on top of the situation.
As for the weather, National Weather Service meteorologist Don Moore said the bulk of the precipitation in Cordova appears to be over.
We're hoping, except for maybe some lingering fog, that the conditions will be generally clear in Cordova. That will allow for good air operations if that is needed. It will also allow a solid day of basically sun-filled skies to help dig out any snow and remove the snow from the roofs.
The Copper River Highway is open for travel, and Monday's flights will run as scheduled, but schools have been canceled. Reporting from Valdez, I'm Tony Gorman.
And nearby in the Prince William Sound area, December was a record-setting month for Valdez. According to the National Weather Service, the city had a record snowfall of 152.2 inches last month. That's a huge increase from a year ago when it experienced a warm winter by Valdez standards. National Weather Service Steve Erickson said the change in the jet stream is the reason for the huge snowfall in the area.
It's just the way the pattern has set up with where the jet stream is, that the low pressure centers are going in a more favorable area for us to get the snow.
Last season's total snowfall for Valdez was 215.5 inches. This season's total so far has already surpassed that amount with 246.5 inches. Erickson says more of the white stuff is still to come in Prince William Sound.
We'd expect another 12 to 18 inches over the weekend, and then another storm on the middle of next week. So it just keeps on going.
The seasonal snowfall record for Valdez is 560.7 inches, which was set during the 1989-1990 winter. A Russian tanker carrying fuel for iced-in Nome is making slow but steady progress. The Renda and the Coast Guard icebreaker Healy are about 165 miles out of Nome. They traveled just about 15 nautical miles Saturday because the Renda became lodged in thick ice several times, and the Healy had to circle back to cut new tracks through the ice. And the crews have become exhausted from the intense work breaking the ice. The vessels have stopped past couple nights to allow the crews to rest up for the next day. Kathleen Cole, the sea ice program leader for the National Weather Service, says the vessels have been working through solid flows of ice anywhere from 24 to 36 inches thick, and they're also hitting some pressure ridges.
When they get to the ridges, the Healy has to break them down. Some of those ridges are 4 feet thick, and it takes a little time to go through them.
Another factor is the pressure built up in the ice. As the Healy cuts a path, enormous forces from both sides push ice into the Renda. Marine pilot Captain Carter Whalen says teamwork and communication are critical at this stage.
And as speeds change, distances change, and there's a rhythm, a dance that exists between those two. And that effort has improved in the last 48 hours, and I think Renda better understands Healy, and Healy better understands Renda at this point. They continue to make progress.
Kathleen Cole says the vessels today will meet a stretch of ice that's broken up and thinner in spots, but that won't be for long. They'll soon meet ice that's up to 42 inches thick. As the fuel nears the final stretch, Vitus Marine CEO Mark Smith says the necessary emergency equipment is in Nome, and dozens of people flew in over the weekend to be on site for the final delivery.
We have ice experts that are looking at the ice outside the breakwater. We have the folks that are going to be physically overseeing the transfer, looking at all the fittings, connections, looking at potential routes for laying the hose.
The final delivery logistics will depend on ice on that particular day, and the forecast calls for north winds this week, which could cause the ice to shift near Nome. Cole expects to see some limited movement at this stage. When the vessels finally arrive, there'll be security zones enforced, according to Coast Guard spokesman David Mosley.
When the vessels get there, the ice-breaking operations themselves may weaken the ice, so we're encouraging everybody to stay away from ice-breaking operations, as well as there will be a 100-yard safety zone around the fuel ship Renda and a 50-yard safety zone around any fuel hoses or operations taking place on the ice.
No one involved in the mission has set a delivery timeline yet. They say they'll know more after the vessels break through more ice today. An investigating officer recommends that charges be dropped against the sole survivor of a deadly Coast Guard helicopter crash off the Washington coast. In Captain Andrew Norris's report, he says he does not conclude that Lieutenant Lance Leone was faultless during the flight, but he says the charges focus on alleged navigational failures by Leone and tie those to the destruction of a helicopter and the death of two crew members. Norris says it's in making this link that the charges fail. Three people total died in that crash. Leone did not face a charge related to the death of the pilot. Prosecutors, during an Article 32 hearing last month, argued that Leone did not fulfill his duties as a co-pilot and should face court-martial. Norris's recommendations will be reviewed by the Coast Guard's District 17 commander here in Alaska, who is not bound by them. A 19-year-old Juneau man was arrested last week and charged with robbery and assault after allegedly hitting a cab driver and stealing some of his fares. Juneau police say Joshua Raymond Jones caught a cab downtown at about 1:45 Friday morning and asked for a ride to the Mendenhall Valley. When the driver dropped him off at the Jordan Creek Shopping Center, Jones allegedly hit the man in the face and stole an undisclosed amount of cash before running off. The driver of the cab was treated for minor injuries at Bartlett Regional Hospital. Jones was arrested around noon Friday and lodged at Lemon Creek Correctional Center on no bail. He's being charged with second-degree robbery, a Class B felony, and fourth-degree assault, which is a Class A misdemeanor. And a competency hearing for a Hoonah man accused of shooting and killing two police officers has been delayed until this morning. A judge in the case wants another opinion on whether John Marvin Jr. is competent to stand trial. A psychologist planned to testify on Friday on his evaluation of Marvin, but a malfunction in the phone system at the Diamond Courthouse prevented the hearing from going ahead as planned. Marvin, now 46 years old, is being charged with murder and weapons misconduct in connection with the shooting of Hoonah officers Tony Wallace and Matt Tokaoka. The incident, August 28th in 2010, allegedly included Marvin holding officers at bay and refusing to surrender until a day after the shooting. A jury trial is scheduled to get underway at the end of this month.